We welcome you to worship here at College Park. So excited to be a part of worship with you today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. And the way that we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, check the boxes, give us some contact information. That helps us find out a little bit more about you. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to that last person, once you're done filling out the pew pad, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for that. A couple of announcements we'll draw your attention to. Number one, we are having children's time today. So after the first hymn, invite all the children to come down and see Mr. David for just a moment. Many things are listed there under upcoming events, opportunities for the week. Just want to draw your attention to a couple of those. Our youth are heading to youth camp tomorrow morning, so we certainly appreciate your prayers. And we will return on Friday afternoon, so it'll be a full week, a good week, going down to Garden City Chapel down at Garden City Beach, South Carolina. So thank you for your prayers for that, specifically me. let's see. Other things listed there. I just want to make note of a couple things that are not listed. Number one, Caleb, get your flip-flop. There you go. Number one, a big, big congratulations to our co-ed softball team. They got second place in the tournament this year. I was very excited about that. And if you'd seen their regular season, you wouldn't have think they had a shot at second place. But man, they played great. Very excited for that's our first year for in a while for our co-ed and for our men. Our men will have their tournament starting later this week. So thank you to all that have supported that through coming out and cheering. We always have the liveliest crowds and very, very thankful for that. Also, the recreation committee, not to be confused with the recreation service, but the recreation ministry, the committee has asked me to we are looking for volunteers who are willing to man the recreation welcome desk. We are starting to put those things together. If you have time that you can give to help staff that area, greet people as they come in, help people find where they need to go. We're developing a weekly schedule, things and ongoing special events. We're going to need volunteers to help us with that. If you have an hour, if you have 2 hours, if you have 3 hours on a regular basis, on a non-regular basis, we would love to have your name on the list that's at the welcome desk. So go to the welcome desk if you're able to volunteer for our recreation ministry in our new gym. So looking forward to seeing that get ramped up very, very soon. Other things are listed there in the bulletin, and just draw your attention to those. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we appreciate you giving us your information on the pew pad a moment ago. We would like to give something to you. So just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history or the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. Has it rained enough where you live? And it's amazing what happens. Last year, we needed more rain, and we were praying for more rain. This year, we're praying for too much rain. We don't want it. Are we ever satisfied? We're never satisfied. Whatever we have, we're never satisfied. But is that true with our faith and relationship in God? Are we ever satisfied with where we are? Do we strive to be closer to Him? I hope we are never satisfied. Christ gave his very all for us. How many times have we given our all for him? He can give us the satisfaction that we need. In him is all that we could ever want or hope for. I pray that as we come to worship, that we will be satisfied in him. Let us prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? Father, we say Jesus' name so often that it's easy to forget the power and the beauty in that name. Jesus, the Christ, the Holy One, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, Savior, Redeemer, Friend, Forgiver, Sustainer. Father, for all these things that Jesus means to us, and for all that he has done for us, we come to worship you. May we be satisfied in what you have given. May we be satisfied in you, just to be in your presence. Because when you are here, nothing else matters. Help us to rely on your presence completely. Be in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
morning. Y'all having a good day today? I'm glad to see everybody here. Well, before we get started, can anybody tell me what the word transform means? Yeah. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. What is this?
A transformer.
There we go. We're going to talk about a transformer today, but we're going to talk about a special transformer. Who do you think we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about Jesus. Now, hold on. Jesus, if you give Jesus your faith and trust, he will transform your life into something you can never imagine, something you would never believe. He showed us this power in the story of Saul. He took a person who did not like Christians and wasn't very nice to Christians and turned him into somebody who ended up preaching and teaching the word of Jesus and changed his name to Paul. So that shows us the great power, that transforming power that he has. Tuesday, yeah. So could you imagine the transforming power he could have on your life if you gave him the chance to transform your life? It would be very great. Do you agree? Yes, ma'am.
Hold on.
Tuesday.
What
was you asking? Yeah, Jesus. Well, let's pray. I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to feel the transformer power in our lives. And I want to thank you for this wonderful day and keep everybody safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We had a few of those transformers around our house in past days. But today we celebrate the greatest transformer of all. We come to give thanks for him. And so let me share with you from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from as old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways and guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. And then, moving along to Colossians 1, 9 through 14. 1 Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Okay. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word.
free. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts.
And now let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for this time of worship. We thank you that we can come here and just put ourselves aside and just look to you for the hope and the assurance and the courage that we need to serve you and to live our lives fully for you. But Father, as we take a look at our relationship with you, sometimes we realize that we've been thinking that it's our strength that helps us to be strong, and that it's our wisdom that helps us to make good decisions, and it's our courage that helps us to be bold, and we think that it's our control that helps us to order things in our lives, and it's our abilities that help us to accomplish good things. And we think that sometimes, and we confess that to you today, because we can fully claim today as individuals and as a body of Christ that it's not about us and it is not us, but indeed it is your grace that covers us and fills us and goes before us and behind us and connects us with you, our living God. It's that grace that gives us strength and wisdom and guidance. It's your grace that gives us fulfillment and satisfaction in life and purpose and meaning as we serve you. In light of all the hills and valleys and the low times as well as high times in life, we know that your grace is there to catch us when we fall, to pick us back up again and send us on our way. We know that we have a new beginning every day in Christ, and we are so thankful for the forgiveness that is ours in Jesus Christ our Savior. So, Lord, help us, give us the courage, the determination to share this grace that we have inside of us with others. There's so many people who are lonely, so many people who do not know, so many people who are lost and in the dark and are just depending on the shallowness, the very shallow nature of this world to bring them hope and satisfaction. So, Father, help us to take to them the eternal light that never stops burning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, it is so good, Lord, to know that you are in this place with us. Lord, to know that you were willing to give yourself on a cruel cross that we might know you and be in relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for your day-by-day mercy and grace. Lord, we thank you because you have brought us this far. And Lord, we thank you because we know that your guidance and your care does not end here. You will continue to walk with us and to carry with us and lead us from this day forward. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to know what comes next because we know you and you know what comes next. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you give us materially. Lord, for roofs over our heads and food on our table. And Lord, so many gifts that we take for granted. Lord, this is the time that we set aside each week to give back to you. And Lord, it's easy sometimes to feel really proud of giving back. And we forget that it was never ours to begin with. That there's nothing that we can do that you have not equipped us and made possible for us to do. And so, Lord, we give back this morning knowing that the talents and the job opportunities that have provided for us come from your hand And Lord, we confess that too often we take that for granted as well. Lord, bless these gifts. Lord, help us to hear you in this service. And Lord, to give not only our monetary gifts, but Lord, to give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
We are trying to get back on track with our lectionary readings, but we're not real rigid in that regard. But today we are kind of catching up. We're in Galatians chapter 6, and we'll be reading most of that chapter. Galatians chapter 6, and that will bring us to the end of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, Paul's kind of teaching, kind of signing off, doing several things in the course of this short chapter. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's read it together now. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. And let me pause there for just a moment. In the early service and this morning, I want to explain that sentence because a lot of people ask, what is he saying there? Well, it was a common practice in the first century and predating first century and after the first century for someone who was a teacher, especially as they advanced in years and they weren't able to write as well or couldn't see as well for whatever reason, to dictate a letter. And they would have someone that was writing it down. Okay, it's, you know, we've done that ourselves. But Paul tried to make a habit of at least writing portion of the letter so that the church would recognize his signature. It would make it authentic. They would understand that it truly is him writing the letter through someone, though someone else may be dictating or writing it down as he dictates it. But he always tried to write. So when he writes something like this, he's basically just telling them, look, you know, I'm writing this part. You may recognize my handwriting. You'll know this is me, okay? So that's what he's saying there. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Then peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. There was a popular song in the 70s by a group called Simon and Garfunkel. You may remember the duet, Simon and Garfunkel. Paul Simon actually wrote the song in 1968, but in the song there contains an interesting truth. Part of the lyrics read like this: a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. There's a lot of truth there. A man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. The name of the song was called The Boxer. It's been re-recorded by many groups, including a popular group now called Mumford & Sons. So our teenagers would recognize them singing it, although those who were there in the 70s recognized Simon & Garfunkel. But a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. That's kind of true, isn't it? We hear what we want to hear. We use the phrase selective hearing, especially wives as they're speaking of their husbands. They use the term they have selective hearing. A man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. And there's some truth there. We do the same thing when it comes to Scripture. You know, we have a tendency to latch on verses that, that reinforce our philosophy of life and affirm the way that we want to do things. We like passages that give us warm, fuzzy feelings, and we really don't like those that challenge us or maybe correct us. In like fashion, I could kind of start on this Galatians chapter 6 this morning. We may never get past verse 5. You know, because in these first verses here, he's talking about sowing and reaping. And it kind of fits into a popular notion about life being a do-it-yourself proposition. After all, doesn't he say in verse 7, you reap whatever you sow. Whatever you sow, you will also reap. And there have been countless sermons that are nothing but pragmatic lessons on how to solve problems, how to create happiness, how to get ahead in life. And of course, I understand, I get it. Christianity is practical. And the scriptures do guide us in dealing with the challenges and with the possibilities of everyday life. But the point is, divorced from the gospel, preaching, if we're not careful, becomes nothing more than just works religion. So we have to be careful there. Our bookshelves in local stores are lined with self-help books. You have people who are desperately poring over those volumes. They're attending seminars. They're watching Oprah. They're watching Dr. Phil. They're watching Joel Osteen, trying somehow to just get the good life, whatever that is. The good life, kind of this nebulous, feel-good, warm, fuzzy thing. And to be honest, ministers, they can fall into that trap very easily. The trap of, you know, just following the trend, not bucking the system, looking at the worldly models of success and trying to apply that to church. Sometimes we think that ministry is a career rather than a calling. Sometimes we measure success by things like building programs and attendance charts. We may cloak our thinking in such benign little phrases as being seeker sensitive. Whatever that really means. That was a popular phrase in the 90s. Churches need to be seeker sensitive. Okay? And preaching. You know, preachers, you really should not preach anything that might offend visitors. Otherwise, they may not come back. Hello? Excuse me? Last time I checked, we're to preach God's word. Amen? We are to preach God's word. But we do it out of love. We speak the truth, but we speak the truth out of love. I hope that's what you always find when you come to College Park. If not, call me and hold me to it. You know, marketing shapes so much of what happens in churches, unfortunately, sometimes. And we begin to hold forth about the importance of living a good life so that we can receive wonderful rewards here and now. Wow, really? Preach like that, and listeners would be inclined to nod their approval and feel reassured that they have the resources deep within them somehow to have the good life. There's a popular strain of prosperity theology that's been making the circuit for some time, and that's really kind of what it asserts. And those that preach it, they're packing in the people. Don't get me wrong, they're packing in the people, crowds in Houston and everywhere else, all over the country, all over the world, packing in to hear this stuff. But Paul says, no. No, that is not the nature of the gospel. That's not what he takes a broad shot at this type of bootstraps theology when he said in verse 14, may I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. A man once announced to evangelist D.L. Moody, sir, I am a self-made man. To which the evangelist replied, congratulations, you have saved God a great responsibility. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we slip into that model. But the reality is that there is brokenness in the world. There is. The human race collectively and individually, we set ourselves at enmity with God. If you don't believe me, look at the magazines. As you're walking out of Walmart or the grocery store or wherever you happen to be, look at the magazines there on the impulse buy rack. You realize that's what they're there for, right? You know, as you're waiting in line, that's the reason they never have more than two lines open. Okay? They're hoping while you're waiting there in that line, you're going to buy some of that stuff. You know? And if you look at the, if you're not embarrassed to look at the front of the magazines, and some of them you are, I mean, you don't see all the despair and crying needs of the inner city, do you? You don't see about all the wonderful opportunities if you volunteer for the Peace Corps. That's not on the headlines. The headlines, all over the front of it, is these leering accounts of the escapades of the rich and the famous. Who cares? Who cares? You know, popular magazines, they tell us how to slim down, look younger, and get more pleasure. Evidence for this narcissistic obsession of our society. It's sad. Martin Luther was right, I believe, firmly, when he said that after the fall, the human race was, quote, curved inward upon itself. That really kind of describes it. Unless you have other theories here, I'm going to go with that one. The human race is curved inward upon itself. We're self-obsessed. The Beatles, that groovy little band from the 60s and 70s. The Beatles had a song that just endlessly repeated the line, I, me, me, mine, I, me, me, mine, I, me, mine. And I think it was George Harrison that actually wrote the song. And when they asked him about it, he said, it's basically just making fun of our egos. These incredible egos that we have. I, me, mine. A self-centered world like ours loves to hear sermons and songs about self-improvement. But this is a world of urban blight. This is a world of failed marriages. This is a world of emptied lives. This world will never become the realm of God apart from the cross of Christ. It's only through crucifixion that there can be resurrection. Only by dying to self can we begin to live for Christ and for others. And this happens not by fresh revelation or resolution or greater effort. It comes through the cross of Christ. Nothing else. The Apostle Paul flatly asserts that something happened to him when Jesus Christ went to the cross. Talk about transformers. You talk about transformation. Paul was transformed. Here was a man that was in rebellion against God in every way. And there was a time that came when he quit living for himself and his immediate desires. The cross changed all of that. Jesus was not just a solitary martyr going to his death. Jesus died as our representative. He included us in his death. When he died, we died. When he rose, we arose. Thus, Paul could make this surprising assertion that by the cross long ago, the world was crucified to him and he to the world. All of humankind, all of human history is bound together in what Jesus did on Calvary. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, that is fact. Paul humbly confesses that the only thing that he can boast about, the only thing he wants to boast about, the only thing that he can boast about is that Christ died for him. That's good enough. The great thing to which he wants to draw everyone's attention to is that God incarnate, Jesus of Nazareth, took on flesh. He took on the pain, he ascended the hill, and in the mighty act of atonement, crucified the world and his former self. Paul is rejoicing over that. And he says, by faith, we can participate in what Christ did for us long ago. By faith, not by works. By faith, we participate in what Christ did for us long ago. Our works can never be enough. It's by faith grace of Jesus Christ that we're saved. And if we could wrap up all of this, if you want to go back to the first 5, 6, 7 verses, I think it kind of sets the tone for where we go from here. What do we learn from this? There's a lot of things. Let me give you 3 things maybe to take away and kind of chew on this week a little bit. First of all, let's talk about the Christian life. What is it? The Christian life, first of all, is a caring life. He asserts this over and over and over in his letters. Care for one another. Lift up the stumbling. You know, bear one another's burdens. Be there for one another. Work for the good of other people. It's not so much looking inward as it is looking outward. True, we look inward to see who we are in Christ. Then we let that be reflected in how we treat other people. Secondly, the Christian life is a transformed life. Understand, we are no longer the same. He said, we are new creations in Christ. Act like it. We are transformed by His grace. Act like it. And thirdly, Paul asserts it is truly a Christ-centered life that we should be living. The living realities of our life is Christ. The living reality is Christ. In Christ, we are new creations. It's striking to me that Paul declares the cross to have an ongoing impact. It's not, according to him, merely the fact that he was crucified with Christ so that Christ took my place in the past. That's not all there is to it. It is a fact of contemporary implications. I continue to be crucified with Christ. Daily, I take up my cross and follow him. I continue to have victory over selfish and sinful inclinations through the crucified Savior. So go forth. Go forth. Go forth into your Monday morning. Go forth into the days of this week. Your life is a calling from God. Your relationships with your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, all present opportunities to sow in fruitful ways, to make a loving difference in the life of others. And in due time, you will reap. Lift up the stumbling ones. Encourage the faint-hearted. Feed the hungry. And in due time, you will reap a harvest through the crucified one who died and who now lives to walk every step with you. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we do ask for your help. We acknowledge, we recognize you as our God, the God who created us, the God who gave us life, the God who gives us life eternal through the saving act of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Because we know we could never have earned it on our own. We thank you for the precious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we pray that we would be faithful to live like we truly are, transformed by that power. That we truly are new creations in Christ, that the old has passed away, and that we're new in Christ daily. Father, help us to live like that and to give glory to you for what you've done in our lives and what you will continue to do in our lives and what you will do in the lives of those that we minister to. Help us to take the challenge seriously, to live out our lives not for ourselves, not for our selfish nature, not for all the pleasure that we can grab out of life, but for you and for your glory. That's our prayer. Father, we humbly ask that you would give us that kind of power and strength in our lives daily. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. If you're here and you're not a believer, you're still trying to earn it. I've got good news for you. Well, there's bad news and good news. The bad news is you're never going to get there, okay? The good news is you don't have to. The good news is grace is a gift from Jesus Christ. You don't have to earn it. You have to accept what he did for you on the cross and let him transform you. if you're here this morning and you've come to that realization or you'd like to talk more about it, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you while we're singing in just a moment. Or you can call me this week. I'll be glad to meet with you wherever you'd like to, and we'll talk about it. We'll kind of get all that settled. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, but you keep falling back into that selfish mode or back into that mode of trying to earn your salvation again, you know, that's the chance for you to talk with God this morning. As we sing, you know, talk with Him. Work that out. Let Him touch you at your point of pain and heal you from that selfishness and pride. If you're here and you'd like to be a part of this congregation, we welcome you. We'd love to talk with you about it. There are a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. All of this is going to take place in about 3 or 4 stanzas. and if you're at the point where we just couldn't get it all worked out, you call me this week, and I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you as we kind of get back on track here of what God wants us to be and how He wants us to be living. But as you're struggling with this and making decisions, I invite you to make those public if you desire to as we stand and sing together now. Our benediction and the response, turn to the people that are around you. Encourage one another. Shake a few hands. Hug a few necks. Let them know that you'll be praying for them this week and ask for prayer in return. We all need it. Amen? We do. We need the love and encouragement of this body of believers, and God has given it to us as a gift. So accept it. Okay? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we do accept the gift that you give us of your Holy Spirit who guides us. Your Holy Spirit that makes us one as the church, to live out our lives together. Father, we thank you for that. What an awesome privilege. And as we go from this place, let us walk in your Spirit. Let us walk as Christ would walk through us, loving one another and ministering to others in Jesus' name. Father, we ask all of these things in the name of our precious Lord and Savior. Amen.